Thank you, God, for your word today. Make it alive and help us to understand it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. When I was young, quite a while ago, when we were kids, you know, if you were talking to someone and they would say, well, we would say, hey, that's a deep subject. Do you remember that, any of you? Today, we're going over things that are a deep subject. Things that people discuss, and even people that have divided over. As we studied last time in verse 3, we born-again believers, the church, are a blessed people. See, God blesses his people. We've come to Jesus and we're his people. Our greatest blessing, we learned, is salvation. Because if we weren't going to heaven, it wouldn't matter what we had here. If we end up in hell and not in heaven, all this was worthless. But we're saved from eternal death, from a place called Gehenna, a place separated from God, because our sins have been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, God's grace. And we read, because of his grace, we have peace with God. We made our peace with God so we can enter heaven. And we studied in verse 3, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We have gained many spiritual blessings. He takes care of us while we're here, and he's given us many spiritual blessings to look forward to. The Bible says we become joint heirs with Christ. We're an heir. I love that word inheritance, don't you? Sounds good when you find out you're an heir. You've gained an inheritance. That's what we are. We've gone over some of those spiritual blessings last week. And now we go over more of these spiritual blessings we have. Spiritual blessings in the heavenly, because a lot of times on this earth we can feel like we don't have anything, or we're not doing well, or we didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. Well, know this, you have spiritual blessings which no one can take away. First, one of those spiritual blessings, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. First, we see God chose us. In Christ, in him, we who now believe in Jesus Christ, God chose us to be his own. Paul, you know, notice the word us. Paul includes himself and all of us believers. Now, the word chosen in this verse, and the word predestined in verse 5 has caused much discussion and sometimes confusion among believers. Chosen. Predestined. Another word, which we'll see in the Bible, is election, or the elect. Chosen, predestined, the elect. How do people think of these words, and how do they fit together? What do they mean? Well, we must remember one thing first. The Bible is the Word of God. The whole Bible is the inspired Word of God. We must believe that as Christians. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy 3, verse 16. And if ever you want to do something during the week, just go through the Bible and do chapter 3, verse 16 throughout the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, not perspiration of men. It says inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We believe that God's word is truth. All of it. All scripture. You know, in Isaiah 55:9, it says, God's ways are higher than our ways. See, God's ways are not our ways, and his ways are higher than our ways. We'll never find them out. But it's true. God's word is true, even though we don't fully understand everything. It's true. See, we are not God. I know we try to counsel God at times, but we're not God. We have limited understanding. We don't see all things. We don't know all things. And we're limited. We don't know how things fit together or work together in God's kingdom. And when we get to the words like chosen, predestined, elect, these terms are used by God. And they're always good terms. That's what we must remember. These terms are used for the saved, not the lost. God never chooses a person to be lost. God doesn't predestine people to be lost. So there should be no confusion. Whenever we see it, it's for the saved. And people get all bent out of shape over these terms. And, you know, there's doctrine, you know. Hey, if you're called, you're the saved, you're the elect, and you're saved. And then the other side says, no, you can lose your salvation. And then people get into all kinds of things. The Bible is balanced. It speaks of a person, a person's responsibility, and God's sovereignty. You see, God never chooses people to be lost, to be condemned. Let's turn back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 17. John 3, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So this tells us right here, God wants people to be saved. Now, how could he want them to be saved if he already predestined them to be lost? And if you believe in predestination, that a person has no choice and they're saved, then why would Jesus come into the world? Why would he want to save man? It's because we start out lost. It's because we start out lost. And it tells us here in verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men like darkness. They like to live for the world. They don't want to be saved. See, the whole word of God is true. The Bible teaches God is sovereign and also man's responsibility. God knows how these things fit together. And we go over some scriptures today to get an idea what he's saying here, what he means by these terms. A very important term whenever you're talking using these terms, a very important word, or actually words are, and you'll see that here, in Christ. In verse 3, he ended with in Christ, and in verse 4, just as he chose us in him. These terms always go along with in Christ, speaking to those in Christ. Chosen. predestined speaks to those in Christ, believers in Jesus Christ. Now, not just the person that calls themselves a Christian, but one that's truly born again, member of the body of Christ, who chose through their free will, with their free will, to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. They chose to do that. You know, I read this, or one once said, if you try to explain election, you may lose your mind. But try to explain it away, and you lose your own soul. What that means is, some will say, well, I'm not one of the chosen. I'm not one of the elect. What's the use? I might as well live for the world. Bad attitude. You'll lose your own soul. See, we can't take that attitude. It's better to say, well, I don't understand this, but God says it, so it's true. You know, all a person has to do is come to Jesus by faith, surrender, and they'll know they're one of the chosen. It's that simple. We'll see that. If God is drawing you near, speaking to you, and I look back at my life, I can see God drawing me even before I was a Christian, doing things in my life, having people share with me. See, God draws. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draw him. So God draws people, and he deals with us. And if God is drawing you or drawing someone you know, encourage them to respond. You know, if a person wants forgiveness of sin, and no one is too bad to come, or too old or too young, but if they want forgiveness of sin and salvation, just come to Jesus. By faith, believing in him, respond. Just, it's up to the person to open the door of their heart, and they will be saved. And guess what? They're one of the elect, and they're one of the chosen. Romans 10, verse 8, please. Turn back to Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You must have faith. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. There is no theological deep thing here. Do that and you will be saved. But what if I'm not one of the elect or one of the chosen? Just do this and you will be saved. There's no argument. So we call upon the Lord. And verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Isn't that wonderful? John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus speaking to Martha. In John 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Man's choice. Man chooses to believe, to become one of God's people. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect. He calls them the elect. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There's a key as to how these fit. In sanctification of the Spirit, they're set aside by the Spirit, we are, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Quite a bit there in verse 2. You see, one who chooses Jesus Christ as their Savior becomes part of the elect. You're one of the elect. Now, here's the key in verse 2 here in 1 Peter. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, for he knew what you would do. That's why he can call you chosen and the elect. I was, in God's eyes, before I received Christ. Why? By his foreknowledge. How? By his foreknowledge. God knew before I was born. Isn't that great? I wish I would have known that. But before I was born, God had the foreknowledge that I would be chosen because I would choose him. I would be a part of the elect, part of the church. That's wonderful. See, God can speak of things not yet occurring, but future and true. By his foreknowledge, we're the elect. God chooses, he draws, reveals himself, we respond, and we are then part of the chosen and part of the elect. In John 6, 37, if you would like to turn there, John chapter 6, verse 37, we see both of those things. The Father drawing, calling, and the person coming. John 6, 37. All that the Father gives me, God starts dealing with a person as he did with me, hands me over. All the Father gives me, speaking to Jesus, will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. So as I come, I respond. I can't say, well, I don't know if I'm one of the chosen or one of the elect. It says, if I come, I will be saved. Jesus will not cast me out. So there's God's sovereignty dealing with me, and then there's me responding. So if you ever run into a person wondering if they're part of the chosen or part of the elect, or they believe in that doctrine, think, well, I'm outside of that. It can go the other way, too. I'm inside of that. I'm one of the chosen elect, so I can live any way I want. No, not so. If you read the whole Bible, that's not the way it works. You become the chosen elect because you chose Jesus. If you come to him. So if a person is wondering if they're part of the elect, they're chosen, all they need to do is respond to God, come to Jesus, be saved, then they're part of that group. Back to our text, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. But the key word is in him. He chose us in him, in Jesus. The word us means Paul includes himself with the saints. Remember last week, we called ourselves saints because we're holy and set apart, because we're in Christ, not because we're so good. It's always because we're in him. We're saints, we're elect, we're chosen. And Paul includes himself. We're in this group. God has chosen us. We've responded. But you notice in verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's another key to share with people that have a problem with this doctrine. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. He knew we would choose him. But he chose us, a people that he would call the church, before the foundation of the world. Not us personally. He knew who would choose him, but he chose us, meaning the church. You know, even in the Old Testament, the church was a mystery. It's revealed in the New Testament. But before, what he's saying, before men even existed on this earth, before Jew or Gentile, before this worldly system, God chose, in his plans, he chose to have a people for himself, a people to become his family, and called in Christ. That's the whole church. You get it? Before the foundation of the world, he says, I'm going to have, you know, there are people on this earth that have this layout of their life for 30 years in advance, or maybe their whole life, and they've got it all laid out. Here's where I'm going to probably get married. Here's where I'm going to have a baby at this age, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Well, good luck. I don't know many people where all that came true. But there's people today that lay that out as if they're God, as if they have foreknowledge. But they don't. But God does. And he can lay that out and say, I'm going to have these people for myself that love me, that are called the church. This was designed and set up to be before man was ever created. Because it says, before the foundation of the world. Therefore, because of that, there was no man or people to deal with. Now remember, I said this is deep. We don't want to get lost here. Before there was people to deal with, God did not say this when people existed and say, well, I'm choosing you and I'm not choosing you. I'm choosing this race and I'm not choosing that race. And here's what I have to do now. He didn't do it when people existed. So he wasn't dealing specifically like that with people. He was dealing with his plan. He chose before the foundations of the world to have this group of people, which we call now the church, that are his people. They weren't a people yet. It wasn't based on people that were rebellious or not rebellious or a certain race or color or anything. It wasn't based on anything. God just says, I'm going to have this group of people that are going to be my people. We see the terms, the chosen ones, they're predestinated for certain things, they're the elect, the church. So he was choosing before the world was to have a people, not confined to an area, race, or anything, that would be his covenant people, a people for himself, that would spend eternity with him in heaven. These people would be the ones that would be chosen or be in Christ. Chosen in Christ. We didn't choose ourselves to make up this plan to do that. And God says, I chose you before the foundation of the world, that this is the way it's going to be, and they're going to be in Christ. Now, they are predestined. He said, for these people, he says, you're going to be predestined to receive certain benefits. We call them blessings. So I'm going to have a group of people, and they're going to get certain benefits, blessings. We have many clubs, fraternities, organizations in our society, right? Maybe you've been part of them, or are. Certain groups. The club is set up, the organization is set up, before there's any members. And the criteria for the club is set up. Here's who can join or be part of it. For membership, this is what it takes. And as one chooses to meet that criteria and decides to join, they choose to abide by the laws that were set up beforehand of their own free will. Now, they don't have to join, but they can if they meet the criteria. Now, once they join, they're the what? They're the group. They're the chosen because they chose. We determined beforehand how to be the chosen, so I can call them chosen, this group, as God does, but they chose to be part of that group, and the criteria was you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see how it works? just like it works here. Now, the club also determines beforehand, if you become part of this group, you're predestined to have certain benefits. You're going to get certain things. Isn't that great? We call them blessings. Maybe it's insurance or some freebies or something, but you're going to get it. It's a weak example, but it's an idea of what God did. Now, in verse 4, it says, you know, before the foundation of the world, this group he determined should be holy and without blame before him. See, all men are lost due to sin. We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned, the Bible tells us. God said and decided a way would be made for mankind, people, men and women, to be saved, to become part of this group, to become his people, and inherit many blessings and benefits. God created a way. He says, be my special people, my family. God did a good thing. He allowed anyone who would come to Jesus to be in him, to become his people. Now, when the people speak of election or chosen or predestination, it's all good. None of it's with the lost, it's for the saved. See, all would be lost, start out lost. But he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should join the body of Christ and be holy without blame and serve him. Holiness is the proof that we are chosen ones. We lead a separated life. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You can't continue on in your old life. The proof of being a member of that group is the holy, sanctified life. A person can't say, well, God and I, we have our own deal. We know each other and he knows who I am, I know who he is, and I have my own rules. Or I worship God in my own way. No, God says, this is the way. Here's what you must do. Here's how you must live. Holiness separated from the world. Be a new creature in Christ. And that's the sign that a person is part of that group. Not just say it. We're a new creation. Now, one of the blessings we have was we're chosen in the last part of verse 4, that we would be without blame before him in love. In other words, we are not going to be judged. Isn't it wonderful when you're guilty of something and they don't lay any blame on you? Boy, that's an ideal situation when you're a kid growing up. If they would never blame you or punish you. We're without blame before him in love. He loves us, gave us Jesus. Now we're without blame. When you die, you're not going to stand before the judgment seat of God or wonder if you're going to get in. You're getting in with full benefits. Because you're without blame, it's not like God says, well, you know, you weren't a very good Christian down there. You know, a lot of people, you ask smart things, they're going, well, I'm not too good. I'd like to be a little better. Well, you're either for the Lord or you're not. Give your life to the Lord, live for him, and you're without blame. If you sin, you repent, you confess, you get right with him, you have forgiveness. But it's wonderful to be without blame. You don't have to fret on your deathbed that something is going to happen to you when you die and you're going to have to pay. You're without blame. Written on us are all these words that we can't see: blameless, forgiven, holy, saint. If we could see that on us, hey, that'd be neat. But then we'd probably be proud. But we're without blame before him. That's a blessing. That's great to know we're without blame. Sometimes you feel awful when you sin, don't you? You get guilt-ridden. You feel you've let the Lord down. Hopefully you feel sorry for your sin. You hurt God, you hurt others. You know, it's a wonderful blessing. 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're without blame. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes that guilt eats you up. Something you did 20 years ago maybe is still eating you up. And you feel like you deserve blame. or some punishment. God's saying, no, you're without blame. Forgive yourself. God does. You're without blame. Isn't that wonderful? That's a blessing. Guilt is heavy. It's heavy. Keeps you from this wonderful walk with the Lord. You're without blame, but walk in holiness. Let's turn to the book of Jude, verse 24. Book of Jude, verse 24. Just before the book of Revelation, verse 24. Now to him, the Lord, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with the exceeding joy. Jesus is able to present you faultless before his presence. Isn't that wonderful? Without blame, faultless, no matter what we've done. That's an awesome thing. So back to our text here. Many people use this word chosen in a wrong way and think, well, what if I'm not chosen? Well, then just ask Christ into your life. See, God here is speaking more about a plan to have a people for himself before man was ever created, and he chose a way for one to become part of that group and to be called the chosen, but it's up to the individual, just like joining anything. That's the way it works. If one doesn't want to go to hell, they can receive Jesus and go to heaven. Matthew 22, verse 14, it says, many are called, but few are chosen, because they don't choose. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. So we see that it is up to the person to choose and be part of the chosen. If a person desires to be a chosen one of God, just love the Lord and give your life to him. In John 3:16, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Every person is part of whoever. Every person is part of whoever. So verse 4 doesn't mean God has chosen some and rejected others. It never speaks of rejection, because he did this before the world was and before people lived. And they chose to believe in Christ. Now, as I said, now there's blessings as a result of being part of this group, which we are. And we call that we're predestined to have certain things. Predestination deals more with what God has for us after salvation and not predestine us before to be saved. See, that's where people get messed up. Because if you read it in context always, having predestined us to adoption, which means we've accepted Christ. Predestination. Doesn't mean before the worlds were formed, I was predestined to be lost. No. Predestined means, like I was explaining, a club. You join the group and now you're predestined to have certain benefits. You see, they choose to be in Christ, and they're predestined for certain blessings. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would like to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, we are, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And speaking here to Gentiles who were once not a people of God, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. First of all, we've obtained mercy because we're part of this group, God's people. And so we're called chosen and elect from the beginning because we joined this group. Now, chosen and elect refers to people who choose to be part of God's family, have chosen to do that. And here's what God does for you and I, because we're this holy nation, these people. Here's what he does for us. He's predestined us, verse 5, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself. Predestined, the word predestined here means predetermined. It means to ordain beforehand. He predetermined, he ordained beforehand that people who become part of this group have certain benefits. So you see what predestined means? He predetermined, just like you write up bylaws for a company or an organization. Here's what you're going to get because you're now part of this company. So here's what he says. And it speaks of God's purposes, specific purposes, benefits for the people. And it refers to believers. God says, they will be my people in Christ. They are my people. He says, here's what I'm going to do for you. Predestined, my purpose, my many blessings. First of all, is to be adopted. That's a great blessing. You want a big family? You got a big family. And you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Can you imagine the marriage supper of the Lamb? How many people will be there? Wow. But predestination just means I have certain things, many blessings, because of what I've chosen to be part of. And we're going to go through a lot of those things. Now, another example, and it's kind of lame to get examples for these terms, but another example is, say I decided to create an airline, and I only have two planes, but I have an airline. One plane, and I'm choosing, before I even get everything going, I'm choosing to have two planes, and one plane's going to go to Siberia, and one's going to go to Hawaii. Everybody's happy about the second one, but say I have two planes. Before I have any passengers, I've chosen that. This one's going to Siberia. This one's going to Hawaii. I'm the owner. I can do what I want. Then people choose to pick one of the flights. I don't make them get on the plane to either place. They choose to pick one of the flights. Flight number one, predetermined, predestined to go to the destination of Siberia. Has no meals, no benefits, no heat. Wouldn't that be awful? Included. And it's easy to get on that plane. Low cost. But the rules are set. It's predestined to go to Siberia. And the people that board that plane are predestined to go to Siberia. I don't force anyone to get on. In either plane, they choose. And on that plane, there's no benefits. No benefits at all. Flight number two, predestined for Hawaii. A higher cost, but meals, many benefits, nice music. Destination is great. And they're predestined for many blessings when they get there. They're predestined to have that and predestined on the plane for what they have. But people choose the plane. They're not forced to. See, we in Christ have chosen the right path. Jesus said, there's a broad way and a narrow way. That way is easy to get on, but it leads to Gehenna. The other way, the narrow way, requires your life. But the benefits are enormous. But we choose. But all that was set up by God ahead of time. And we chose the right one. And so one of the great benefits, we're predestined to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ himself according to the good pleasure of his will. One of the blessings is I become a child of God, which means God becomes my father. People are wrong that say we're all God's children. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's creation children. John 1 tells us we must believe on him, Jesus Christ, and then we have the right to become the children of God. We choose. So adoption is one of those things. And here's another thing about adoption. I become adopted, a child of God, and the word means, when it says an heir, one of full age. It's not like I'm adopted as a baby, and then I have to wait till I'm 21 or 25 to receive all these benefits. I get them right away. Isn't that wonderful? Galatians chapter 4. Look at the previous book before Ephesians, Galatians 4, verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. You know, it's an endearing term, Daddy. He's our Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We inherit much. And I'm in a good family, you see, because God is so good. He has predetermined that. That's one of the benefits of the group that I'm now in. The chosen, the elect, called Christians, called the church. See, God has done a good thing for us. And you notice in verse 5, according to the good pleasure of his will, he loves to bless his people. It's his will to bless us. It's his pleasure. It's his good pleasure. I'm glad I'm a child of God. What about you? Then verse 6. To the praise and glory of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. All the praise and glory goes to God. God set it up and he did it all. It's all God. That's why we call it grace, unmerited favor. We're living under grace as a believer. Because God's grace, and you notice at the end of verse 6, he made us accepted in the beloved. And that's his good pleasure. He says, I accept you. It's not like you have to say, I want to join. I wonder if God will accept me. To anyone who receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they are accepted. Jesus said, I will not turn anyone away. Isn't that wonderful? So we have chosen the right path, believer. And we've been given grace, we're accepted by God, we're his special people, and we're blessed. More blessings next week. This is great doctrine, but remember verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. All the glory goes to God. He's done a great thing for us. No one can complain about what God has determined beforehand before the foundation of the world, what he's predestined, what he's planned. No one can say anything against it. It's a wonderful plan. If one is unwilling to come, be part of this group, they're not in Christ. If they are, then they're in Christ. And you have many blessings, but give God the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings we have. We thank you we're on that right plane going home. Lord, lift up our hearts today. I pray these words we studied today would remain in our heart and mind so we can share them with others. Thank you so much that we had the faith to believe, that you've given us that faith. We thank you that you're going to complete what you started in us. And God, I pray that we have thankful and grateful hearts and just honor you with our lives, with our lips,
with all we do. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.